Unsealed, the letters of Bess of Hardwick. Stories from Bess's bedchamber. If the walls in Bess's bedchamber could reveal what they witnessed over the years, they would tell many exciting stories. This is not a story of love and passion. After all, Bess was in the final years of her life and separated from husband George when she moved to Hardwick Hall. But this bedchamber, the very room where our exhibition takes place, was the site of passionate arguments and many sleepless nights. It is the room Bess shared with an unwilling and troublesome companion, her granddaughter Arbella. Arbella Stewart had been orphaned as a child, and Bess and her relatives looked after her from then on. Since Bess knew from her own experience how important money was to the little girl's future, she did everything in her power to make sure that Arbella was provided for. Shortly after her daughter Elizabeth's death, Bess wrote to William Cecil, Lord Burley.
My Honourable Good Lord, I hope your Majesty will let that portion which she bestowed on my daughter and jewel Arbella remain wholly to the child for her better education and her servants that look after her. Her masters, that are to train her up in all good learning and virtue, will require no small charges. Wherefore my earnest request to your Lordship is to recommend this humble suit to her Majesty.
Bess's efforts do not seem to have been successful, but the Queen and Arbella were bound together in mysterious ways. In fact, Arbella was related to both Elizabeth I and James VI of Scotland. As a potential claimant to the throne, Arbella was constantly under threat. She needed to be guarded from anyone who wanted to do her harm or abduct her. And much to her woe, it fell to Bess to keep Arbella safe. Arbella was not an easy house guest. She was often ill, which made it difficult for her to be even-tempered. And she rebelled against being kept by her elderly grandmother at Hardwick Hall, a remote place which felt like a prison to her. She often tried to run off. She persuaded noblemen to visit and carry letters for her. She refused to eat, pleaded with the Queen, and generally plotted and schemed behind Bess's back. Bess often asked the Queen to take Arbella off her hands, to marry her off to someone or put her in her service. Things became very unpleasant at Hardwick Hall. When the situation escalated, Arbella wrote a long defensive letter to Bess, in which she explained that she was not, as rumour had it, running off with Edward Seymour, the Earl of Hertford. Instead, she said, they were just friends, even if he was enamoured with her.
The only request that I ever made unto him is that he would procure my remove from out of your ladyship's custody. Not that I would not think myself most happy to spend all my life under your ladyship's government, but that I cannot rule love and ambition in others, as I, thank God, can do both very well in myself.
But Arbella was in no mood to give Bess any further details. She was under the Queen's orders to stay with Bess, and to the Queen she would answer, given certain conditions.
If it do please Her Majesty to allow me the space of 1 month to clear myself in, and liberty to send to any privy councillor, I will be accountable to Her Majesty, but not to your ladyship, for all that ever I did in my life, or ever will do. And I will reveal some secrets of love concerning myself, and some others, which will be delightful to Her Majesty to understand.
Meanwhile, Bess was very worried about the constant traffic of suspicious visitors who came to see Arbella. Any one of them might plan to abduct her, and worse. And then her problem child, son Henry, got mixed up in the matter. Bess had to do something about the situation. In a letter to the Queen's commissioner, she described a frustrating and worrying incident.
Arbella was desirous to speak with my bad son Henry. I was content to suffer him to come to my house and speak with her, rather than she go to him, but sent him word not to remain here above 2 hours. I suffered but one of Henry Cavendish's men to come to the house with him, but am informed that there were others of their company who kept themselves secret within a quarter of a mile of the house, well weaponed, and some of them had daggers. I also hear that one of the company had a pillion to carry a woman behind him and covered it with a cloak.
Arbella was not worried. She was offended that Bess did not trust her.
Whosoever comes to me at my request, or unsent for, I will either acquaint your ladyship, or send them up post, or cause them to advertise some privy councillor. What they do at my request, to what end, I trust I have fully satisfied your ladyship that I am neither so disobedient nor inconsiderate as your ladyship might think me."
Now Bess had it in writing, but Arbella's bed remained firmly in Bess's bedchamber. This very bedchamber was the place where both ladies, young and old, wrote their letters. The room not only contained their two beds, but also desks and coffers for keeping and writing letters. At times it was a site of frenetic writing activity.
Yesterday's morning post was to Arbella from her servant Charworth. "I hear he brought a letter which Charworth should have delivered to you, which was seen to burn presently upon the receipt of it, and returned to him with other letters to you. She says she hath likewise sent Bassett, her page, to London post 2 days with letters to you. She never rests writing and sending up and down the country in London."
And like the issue of visitors, letters became a bone of contention, especially when Bess feared that Arbella would elope with Edward Seymour. Arbella knew that the only thing she could do was to allow Bess to read her post.
"I will show your ladyship every letter of his I shall hereafter receive."
But we may never find out what really went on in Bess's and Arbella's heads. Their lips remain sealed forever.
"And so, wishing you all honour and happiness, I will take my leave. From Hardwick, your ever-assured, loving friend, Elizabeth Shrewsbury."
This podcast was written, narrated and produced by Anke Timmermann. You will find a list of all contributors on our webpage, www.bessofhardwick.org/listen.